Hello, good evening, good afternoon. So we're continuing on with the Quantum Safe Crypto track, and today we have an additional three more speakers on quantum cryptography. Today we're going to start with Post-Quantum Cryptography and the Future of Digital Signatures by Florian Collery of Dark Matter. So welcome and...
Thank you, and good afternoon. So yeah, I'm going to talk about the future of digital signatures. This is a joint work with my colleague Marcos Manzano, and I think we should start now by defining what's a digital signature and what's its use. So it's mainly used to authenticate you as a signer. Side effect is that it ensures data integrity. What you aim for is that a signature cannot be repudiated. So once you sign a document, you cannot say, oh, that's not me, I didn't sign. And also what you don't want is that someone forge your signature for you. So someone shouldn't be able to forge like the signature of the document if it doesn't know the secret. Oh, that's bad. Can I get a power cable? Yeah, shouldn't get any surprise interruption. Okay, so the standard security property you aim for is what they call existentially unforgeable under adaptive chosen message attack, EUCMA, which is like a scientific word to say that an attacker could ask you to sign a lot of his messages and still will not be able to forge the next signature. So, yep. Right now we have the DSA algorithm, the elliptic curve DSA, RSA signature, Schnorr signature, and all of these is obviously broken by the quantum computer because it all relies on the hardness of factorization or discrete logarithm. So there are already some alternatives. First one is Bliss, it's lattice-based. It's actually not quantum safe. So it might not be what you want. Recently, we've seen the multivariate quadratic digital signature scheme presented by, I think it was a student of Tanya. Yeah, the fact is that it uses Fiat-Shamir transform, which is not quantum safe, at least proven to be quantum safe. So you might have some doubt on it. And we have also code-based signature, which has the same drawbacks than code-based crypto. So large public key, large private key also. So that's why I'm focusing on hash-based signatures. So there are multiple advantages on using hash-based signatures that they're all based on hash function, which are well understood and quantum safe at least. But it doesn't depend on one specifically. So if, let's say, tomorrow SHA-2 or SHA-3 is broken, you can quickly change your hash function that you use in your hash-based scheme, and then you're back into safety. So that's quite cool for that. Also, it's proven to be quantum safe. There is the key size are reasonable. It's like depends on your hash size. It's side channel resistance by nature. Like if your hash function is side channel resistant, so your scheme is also. But it has some drawbacks. The main one is the large signature size. We see after that the order of magnitude. We also see large private key size, but that can be reduced. And also, one of the big drawbacks is that you can sign a limited number of messages. So how does it work? So I'm presenting the first ever hash-based signature scheme, which was a bit stupid, but that's the base. So you have one bit to sign. You have two private keys. So if your bit is 0, your signature will be Y. If your bit is 1, your signature will be X. And that's it. So for verifying, what you do is that you have your public key, which is the hash of your two private key. And so you hash the signature. And if your message was 0, you compare your the hash of your signature with the second public key. And if it's 1, with the first one, and then you say, OK, it's 1. So to sign one bit, you need like a private key, and which is approximately of the size of one hash. So it's quite large just to sign one bit. And plus one drawback is that it's one time. Because basically, once you sign a message, you publish half of your private key. So to use it again, it's not secure anymore. So first refinement is to shorten the signature size. So instead of having bits, you group them, and so you express your message in another base than the base 2, in the base W. You have as much private key as the length of your message in base W. And what you do is that if the first block here of your message is like, say, 2, then your signature of the first block of your message will be your private key. Oh, sorry. Your private key here signed 2 times. And so you do the same for each block of the message. And your public key is your private key hash W times. So you have a shorter signature size, and you have to add a checksum to prevent some very obvious forgery. So that's shortening the signature size, but still that's one time. So you would like to sign like few times. So that's the same idea. So you express your message into another base. But here you have a much larger private key. And what you have also is a selection function, which depends on the message. So you actually will select a bit, just a small part, sorry, of your private key, sign with that with the same principle. You hash the number of time. And your public key is the hash of, like, the hash W times of your private key. And yeah, to verify, it's quite the same. You just complete the chain and use the same selection function. So it's few time, because if your private key is way longer than your message size, then you can sign more than one message. But still, you have a problem, which is the key size. The private key size and the public key size is quite huge. So what you would do is that you would use a Merkle tree. So you take your first block here of your private key, or sorry, your public key, and you hash it concatenated with the second one. You do it for the next ones. And then you go up on one level also. So you hash the left and right nodes. The fact is that here you don't have like on the right side, you don't have 2 nodes. So what you do is just like you lift it. So now your public key is just of the size of one hash. So you drastically reduce the size of it. But still, it's like one time or few times signature. So you want to sign more than once. So what you do is that you imagine you have your signature material for one message, and you could have more. But still, you want a short public key, and at least the same for each of your messages. So you do the same. You just hash the first public key, concatenate it with the second one, do it for the 2 seconds, and then you hash it again, and then you have your public key. So the thing is that here, if you sign this message using this material signature here, the signature material here, there's something missing for the verifier, because it doesn't know anything about that one, or that one, or that one. So you need to provide him this public key with the signature and this node here. So then after that, he is able to compute PK0 from the signature, from the one-time signature. And then from PK1, which is in the signature, he can compute that node. And then with that node that you provided, he can verify against your public key. So now you can actually sign more than one message. So yeah, you need to add what the blue nodes here are called the authentication path, so you have to add that to the signature. Okay, now there is a clever idea here, is that to prove that this scheme is secure, you need to use a hash function which is collision resistant. But here, if you add some random bit mask before the hash of the in the tree, you can relax the condition on your hash function from collision resistance to pre-image resistance in the proof. So the fact is that collision resistance is like n over 2, with n your hash size, pretty much. But your pre-image resistance is n. So what you can do is that you can, with the same hash function, shorten your signature by 2. So, yeah. Sorry. The thing is that you can use a hash function which is like twice shorter to achieve the same level of security. So you actually reduce the signature size again. Okay. So that's pretty much the hash-based signature schemes. But now let's say you want to sign even more messages. What you would do basically would be to extend the tree. So let's say you want to sign 16 messages. If you're just doing the naive way, you extend the tree and you hash it. And it's going to be slow because you need to compute all the leaves and all these hashes and to include them in the signature also. So it's not the most efficient way to do it. A very good trick here is that instead you could divide your big tree into subtrees, and you should actually sign the root of the subtrees. So it's a bit weird, but here you sign them, and then you have a bigger tree again. And the fact is that if you want to compute this public key here, you just have to compute those, which depends on the signature material here, and absolutely not on those trees. So to compute this public key here, if you have to hash a tree which is of size height 2, instead of a tree which is of height 4. So you have a big speed up. But still, the fact is that in your signature, now you have to include the signature of the root of the subtree. But also, what you win is that, imagine you sign a message with this subtree, you don't have to care about the other subtrees. You don't have to compute any authentication path here. You just care about this one, and then the big one. So you save a lot of hashes here. So you actually have a really good speed up. So the question now is that, is it stateful or stateless? So stateful means that you have to keep track of the signature material you used already. Because if it's one-time signature, you don't want to use it again. So there are like popular schemes on that, which are XMSS empty for multi-tree with that trick, or the GMSS. But if you use a tree which is big enough and your leaves are few times signature instead of one time signature, then you can consider it stateless. Then you just choose a random leaf to sign your message and you don't care. Like the probability to use the same leaf to use the same leaf enough times so that the security drops is very small. So you just consider it as a stateless signature scheme. So the most popular scheme for that is Sphinx. And there are use cases for both. For the stateless schemes, obviously it's a replacement for any digital signature scheme like that you use in your PKI or whatever, like the normal ones. But for stateful, you could also imagine that some kind of auto-expiring smart cards with like a limited number of signature, which is built in, and then you cannot use it anymore, or something like that. I think it's actually worth it. And now, just to conclude, I'm going to talk about the performances. So to achieve a 128-bit level of security, post-quantum security, the signature in Sphinx particularly is quite large. It's 40 megabytes. So that's pretty large for each payload. So yeah, that's something to consider. That's the biggest drawback. The public key and private key size are quite short because what you have is just a hash and plus the bit mask. So that's perfectly reasonable. And XMSS has a signature size which is shorter, actually. So that's one advantage of stateful signature. Yeah. And for performances, it's actually a bit less performant than ECDSA, for say. Like XMSS MT is pretty much the same in terms of performances, but Sphinx is a bit slower. And I just mentioned that there is a publication on armed Sphinx, which is like a proof of concept that Sphinx and those hash-based signature can be put on the Cortex-M3. So it's quite slow, but still it's feasible. And also, yeah, the most consuming time is just signing, because verifying is just a chain of hash. And of course, the performances depends highly on your hash functions. I insisted on the S because you can use different hash functions for each stage. Like for one-time signature, you can use SHA-2. And then the thing is that when you hash your tree, you have a fixed length input. Right? So hash functions are designed to have a whatever input. But you can use something a bit more clever, like a block cipher, and to hash your tree, actually. So you have something which is faster than just a hash function. And also, yeah, your parameter selections is quite important. So the number of leaves, the number of subtree, and of course the desired level of security. So you influence your performances and also your signature size. And I think that's it for hash-based signature. Yeah, just a word on dark matter that me and Marcos Manzano are working on hash-based signature. We also have someone working on lattice-based, which focuses on key encapsulation. And also, we have a side-channel analysis lab on post-quantum. Thank you. Do we